Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that God has already done what he said he is going to do? And if you believe it, come on and tap in. Praise God, everyone that is on the line today. Say to yourself, it's already done. According to your faith, be it unto you. Amen. We're talking about supernatural faith. It's already done. Doesn't matter what it looked like. It doesn't matter what it feel like. It doesn't matter what they said it is. It's already done. It's been signed, sealed, hallelujah, and delivered in heaven. We are in this land, and we're traveling through. It's already done. As I continue to say, it's already done. I feel the presence of the Lord, because it doesn't matter about the obstacles. It's the end of the thing, hallelujah. Doesn't matter how you start off. It matters how you end up. But Father, right now, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, as we're in embrace your engrafted word in our spirits, Lord God. Father, we ask you to make us a filter, God. God, that everything that's not like you, God, we give it back. We surrender it, Lord God, and we ask you to allow your new mercies and your grace, God, to be upon us, Father, as we minister, as we teach your word, as we preach your word, God, as we lay foundations, God, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask you, God, that you will stay with us, keep us, lead us, guide us, direct us, God, and Father, as long as we got you, God, we know that we'll be able to stand. So we decree and declare right now that your people, at the sound of my voice, Lord God, that they will be covered with the blood of Jesus. And, Father, they'll be able to walk in a already done anointing. Thank you, Father, that your rich supernatural anointing is on your people who are called by your name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we decree it to be so in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you, I always want to share how excited I am when it comes to the things of the kingdom. It doesn't matter about what's going on around me, but when I tap into the presence of the Lord, there's a spiritual shift that take part not only in my attitude, not only in my gratitude, not only in my fortification, but in my spirit. Telling you, when you want to tap in into a spiritual realm, forget about the things of the world, forget about the cares, and just tap into his presence where there's peace, there's joy, there's healing. Hallelujah. There's such a supernatural enrichment, amen, that pulls you away from the cares of the world. And then you begin to see the end of the thing. Hallelujah. You begin to reach out and bring this brother and bring this sister and bring this daughter and bring this son to have the eyes of their understanding enlightened. So the more you grab and the more you bring forth, God is smiling upon your labor of love. For the Bible says it will not, hallelujah, it will not go unnoticed. Amen. Amen, amen. I want to thank you for joining in with another supernatural broadcast. Spiritual strategies for warfare. I'm telling you, I knew in the beginning of the segment, which was in January, I knew that it was going to cost something. Because whenever you teach about warfare, demonic attack, spiritual strategies, Satan does not like to hear his name. You know how the enemy don't want to be called out to be acknowledged. You know, they want to hide. They want to run. They want to jump. Hallelujah. Because they understand that if we call them out, then what happens? The light began to shine upon them. And when the light began to shine, guess what? Everyone that has eyes can see. Hallelujah. I want to give a quick testimony. And then I'm going to go into my teaching. This will be quick and short, but God is in, he is in everything that we do. Elder and I and my sons and hopefully my beautiful daughter in love will soon to be, hallelujah. We all went out and we got an opportunity to minister to their spirits and to love on them and spend quality time. So we went camping. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, you know, mosquitoes and bugs and just, I'll say that type of living, I had to adjust to it. But I was willing, you know, I didn't know if we was going to be in a tent, but we were in the woods. And glory to God, my soon-to-be daughter-in-law, she did it first class, hallelujah. We were able to have air conditioning and the whole nine yards, but we were in a cabin, and we all had our individual cabins. It was awesome. We cooked outside. We stayed outside, and we enjoyed the nature, the beautiful things, the simple things, the simple pleasures, hallelujah, that pull you away from the activity of the day-to-day responsibilities. However, we was there and we were prepared and we were burning a campfire. And I'm going to tell you, everything that we do, God is in it. And you know that Satan tried to emulate everything that our daddy does. So guess what? He showed up. And I just thank God for just how he does things, because on that particular night, we were gone for maybe 5 days, but on that particular night, where I was sitting, and I believe they said it was a possum. I don't know, possum, but it was an animal that could stand up on its 2 feet. I told my sons, I said, listen, I'm about to go in. It's about 11:30, you know, 12 o'clock, boom, I'm out. And I had just left. Right after I left, one of my sons had bread up on the table. Here come this animal, and actually he's a creation. God created him. He was hungry, just like everybody else. So he decided to stand on the table and beat his chest and take the bread. And I had just left. I praise God for his glory. I praise him. So anyways, one of my sons, he had a big stick, and he kind of like tried to shoo him away with the stick. Man, the animal was like, this is my territory. This is my dominion right up in here. So he didn't move. He even got a little bit stronger that he took a second piece of bread. So my oldest son, Hercules, here he come. So he decided, he didn't want to hurt him, but of course, you know, it's that protection anointing that's usually is upon men. So the oldest one picked up a rocking chair. Big thing. I don't see how he did it, but God let him do it. And he kind of like tossed it at him, and the animal ran. And so then, you know, I hear commotion, so I come back. I look at the campfire. Actually, I literally saw spirits in the campfire. So you know me, I took a picture. And it was an awesome experience. They were starting to activate ground. So we began to take dominion. And that's why God has impressed upon me to teach spiritual strategies for warfare. Now listen, he didn't show up until I left. And I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying he didn't show up until Elder and I left. So I want just to encourage everyone on the line to just realize that Satan will slip in at any given moment. That's why when he does, we already have all the tools that we need to take authority. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen. So this animal, I'm going to have to ask what type of animal it was, but I believe they said he was a possum. I don't know, he could have been a raccoon, I don't know. But he was something that I'm glad God removed me from. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we saw some things, and just to appreciate God created all of these animals. And he just put them where he wanted them to be. Amen. Let's just move along. You know, we've been talking about a lot of things, about spiritual strategies, a lot of tools. But today, I want to talk about, hallelujah, let's talk about how Satan, his demons, and spiritual warfare and activities, strategies. Let's talk about that today. You know, the Bible gives us information on the origin of Satan and the origin of demons, and we went over that. And we know that we can't just believe part of the word, but we have to do the study of the root. We have to study the history. We have to study the origin so that we can really understand what we're dealing with. See, and we have had a lot of discussions about how these entities work. And it just seemed to me, based on the scripture, that God wants us to know more about what these demons are doing, not so much about the history of them, but how they perform in our life. So, in fact, God said that we should be aware of the schemes of the devil. Amen? So we know by just saying in 2 Corinthians, 2 chapter, 11th verse, and it reads, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices or designs. So what does that tell you? It tells me that he tried to outwit us. He tries to outthink us. He tries to cause us to be focused on things that does not have value, so he can take us away from the things that have value. Why? Because he's a thief. He's a liar. And he does what he does so he can take the goods that we have. And sometimes when the goods are taken, guess what? We don't miss them right away. You know, we don't miss the goods right away. It may take some time before we realize that he stole our dreams. It may take us some time when we realize that he stole our desire to move forward. It may take us some time to realize that we have no compassion or no empathy or no sympathy. It might take us some time to realize that we just don't care anymore. You know, that we lost. It takes us some time to realize the things that's valuable the most, because the wear and tear, it happens over a period of time. So as 2 Corinthians is talking about, he have schemes. He have devices. Amen. He used deception. Oh, my God, this is so good to me. I'm telling you, this is so good to me, because I understand that when you get these spiritual strategies, that's when God starts speaking to you on a regular basis. Because guess what? You're living in the spirit and not in the natural. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't stay there. You can always go there. Amen. You know, you ever heard somebody say, oh, if they had done that to me way back in 1900s, hallelujah, I would have did this and I would have did that. You don't live there, but you can go there. And I'm saying vice versa. We walk in the spirit and we seek to live there. So that when Satan comes with his schemes and his strategies, that we know how to be a strategist and strategize on his techniques. And we always win as a soldier of God, because guess what? We don't lose with what God used. We lose when we choose to use our weaponries. Amen. Whew. I'm excited. I am excited whenever I'm in the Word, whenever I'm doing anything concerning God's people. Glory to God. So we will just look a little bit further. I want to show you a variety of strategies that employed by Satan to steal away from us and to literally to destroy the life that God has designed for us. Because guess what? God has designed a particular lifestyle for us. Father, I ask you right now that you would open up spiritual eyes, God, that not only will we hear it, but we'll begin to see some things, God. Let us see some things, Father. Let us see spirits for those that have a desire to literally see spirits. Father, I ask you to open up the door and let us come in the name of Jesus. There's nothing to be afraid of. Amen. There's nothing to be afraid of. Why? Because of the Lord King Jesus. John 10 and 10 talks about the thief comes only. I want you to listen to this. I want you to see it. When a thief break in, he comes in only to steal and to kill and to destroy. What does he come to kill, steal, and destroy? He comes to steal your hopes, your faith, your relationship, so on and so forth. He comes to kill your dreams, to literally to destroy your life. Life is good. Living get hard. Because I'm telling you, I understand that some things just don't matter. Some things just does not matter. And I was saying to Elder today, you know, this is me, and I know he don't mind me sharing. You know, I was sharing with him when I was in nursing school. I went to school, and I got my nursing degree. But in nursing school, one of the classes, they taught us to, you know, if you opened up a bag of potato chips or bread or what have you, you know, get out what you're going to take out and pour it in something else and tighten the bag up and fill it up. So it really irks me to see someone eating out of a big family-sized bag of potato chips or whatever the bag may be, the contents may be in the bag. So it irritates me. And I'm working on it, Elder. I'm working on it. But Elder just grabbed a bag, and he's a man. I'm not saying just men do it because women does it. We'll do it also, but he just grabbed it. That's, you know, hey. And I'd be talking about it. He ignored me. He keep doing it. And so I'm saying the little things that destroy the vine, that really, truly don't matter. But when you learn certain things as you go to school and you become part of that and you find yourself being bothered with little things. So I said that to Elder, and it's like he just like, I'm about to eat more. And I'm about to do it even more because I'm about to break this off from my wife. And that's what I felt he was doing. But nevertheless, he finally went on and separated some and closed the bag up before I could see anything else. So I just said, praise God. Let's work together. But I tell you something. Satan works on small things so he can cause a big issue. So he'll steal that relationship from you by something just small and petty. But guess what? Bible says that God, Jesus came. I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He wants to live life and understand that there's an abundance in the life that he gave us. So in order to do that, we have to know how to strategize against the enemy so that those little small ikes that destroy the vine don't destroy who God have called us to be. Amen, amen, amen. Because one of the strategies that's found in the scripture and is commonly used or I made reference to as possession, P-O-S-S-E-S-S-I-O-N, very seldom is it talked about. But we need to recognize that while this may be the most, I must say, this most used strategies that Satan's goal is, he want to possess God people with his way of thinking, his way of doing things. is something that Satan used to strategize against God's people. He used encounters. So what we're going to focus on these strategies, possession or maybe demonization. Amen, 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 amen. Can Christians be demonized? Can Christians be possessed? I'm just trying to highlight some of the common tactics and to recognize what Satan used to cause us to be exhausted. You know, he beat you on the head, and he hit you with that, and he hit you over here, and before you know it, you're exhausted. But look up and live, because guess what? There's a brighter day ahead. I guarantee you that. Let's talk about how possession or demonization, how it happens, how it comes. First, I'm going to talk about deception, and then I'm going to talk about obstacles, alternatives. Let's do afflictions. I don't know if I'll get to this other try. I'm going to try. So he used deception. How does he use deception? I want you to recognize this. So when you're dealing with people, look with your spiritual eye so that you can see some things. And in order to say some things, hallelujah, we have to see some things. We have to know some things. As an example, let's talk about the works of Satan and demons. And I know I kind of discussed it, but I'm going to browse through it real quick. Create lies, and then he spread them, and then he repeated. And I was reading a book about how if you repeat it a couple of times, at least three times, and you be real very redundant with that same lie, somebody's going to pass it on. Listen to this. In John 8, the 8th chapter, verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So he owns all of that. And the one who seeks to deceive the whole world with lies. This is real. He used lies and spread, he create and spread lies. That's how deception comes about. See, you know the Bible talks about he wanted to deceive the whole world. Not just you and I. He wanted to deceive not just God's people. He wanted to deceive God's people and the people that don't belong to God. He wanted to deceive the whole world. And listen, people rather believe a lie than the truth. Oh, yes. Let me read Revelation 12, and I'm going to read. I'll read verse 9. Listen to this. And I want you to begin to see this. See it. See it. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan. Listen, the devil and Satan got two names. He's a deceiver. The deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels, his homies, was thrown down with him. And I'll just go ahead and read 3. And threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nation any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. that I'm going somewhere with this. And then in verse 20, hallelujah, Revelation 20 and 3, Revelation 20 and 3, and it says, oh, let me see if I got it here, because I'm trying to get you to understand Satan knows exactly what he's supposed to be doing. But, you know, let me just say a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, God, our people, God's people, don't know what we should be doing. Listen, Revelation 3 and 20. And the Bible says, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hear my voice, open the door. It's that simple. He said, I'll come in. And not only is he going to come in, he said, I'll eat with you. And they will, and they with me. See, God is trying to make it plain so that we can understand the strategies of the devil. And he's letting us know that he'll be there for us. Amen. And he won't let us fall. He won't let us fail. Let me read Revelation. Now I'm going to go on. Well, I want to read 8, but I'm gonna go on for the sake of time. But we see this in the first sin of humanity. You know the story how Satan distorted and called into question what God said to Eve, and then man blamed her, and you know I'm sure she blamed him, but the fact is it happened. He deceived and he caused division. And when he caused division, what happened? They both got kicked out of Eden, and God had to put angels with swords of fire on each corner to make sure they didn't come back. So even saying when the serpent came, he said, he told him God lied. And that she would not eat. And if she ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Remember? In Genesis 3? So he came in what? Being accused of the brethren. See, the Bible says those that sow discord, listen to this. Listen to this. And I live by this. Discord. See, Satan, what he does is he uses discord. Because he knows that discord caused division, right? And if he can get you divided among one another, guess what? He got you. Because discord caused division. The Bible says about discord. Let me read. Let's see what verse I'm going to read here. And see, Satan is good at this. And discord is one of the 6 things that God hates. And a lying tongue, haughty eyes, abomination, hands that shed innocent blood, the heart that devises wicked plans, and feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness that breathe out lies, and guess what? And the one who sows discord among the brethren. The Bible says, mark them. Mark them. How do you mark them? Mark them if they sow discord. Do I put a sign on them like they did the leopards? I mean, they mark, what if in the body of Christ or in the church or in the our faith, in the, that when someone sowed discord among the brethren, they had to wear something over their chest that says, I sow discord. and we treat them like a leopard. Okay. Proverbs 6 and 19. Talking about discord. Proverbs 6 and 19. It's talking about a lying witness who give false testimony and one who stir trouble among the brethren. Some people, that's what they do. That's what they do. They sow discord because they understand that sowing discord is going to cause division. I'm trying to find a scripture that says, mark them. Amen, amen. It's going to come to me. Amen. Okay, it's Romans. Romans 16. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Romans 16. Here it is. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them who cause division and offenses that's contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Guess what it says? And avoid them. You wondering why you avoid certain people? Then you know that they're going to sow some discord. And the Bible said, mark them. Why? Because, see, part of our job as the fivefold is to bring the people of God into the unity of the faith, unity of the faith. But discord job is to cause division and cause to birth out some contrary beliefs against the doctrine which you're teaching or against the word of God. And the Bible says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches. I want you to get it. It appears that they're doing good work. And they probably sound pretty good. Deception is in the heart of the simple. They deceive the people. So they look good and they sound good. But good works ain't always God. I want you to hear what I'm trying to tell you. Walking in the office of a prophet, sometimes I have to bring it. And it may not look like good works. But sometimes you got to cut to the white meat to make them bleed so they could be healed. I'm just trying to help God's people. Sometimes it is what it is. But anyways, let's stay focused. And so here it is in the beginning. Here comes Satan. He done made an accuser against the Lord. So he done lied to you. You can eat that. Girl, go eat that. So this strategy continues as deceiving spirits continue to appear in the Word of God, in the Old Testament. I mean, if you were even looking Kings, 2 Kings, no, 1 Kings, and I believe it's 1 Kings 22nd birth, for 3 years, Syria and Israel continued without war. Listen, and Paul say we too can be deceived and led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ. It can happen to, it would be even the very elect. In 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, this was Paul, what he's talking about when he said, not afraid, that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion of Christ. He deceived Eve, but guess who held the charge? Adam, because Adam was given the charge. God didn't tell Eve. He told Adam. And then when Eve was deceived, it was a transfer of spirits. Okay, let me just keep on going, because that can go deep. But part of the deception is how Satan and his demons, how they present themselves. See, being false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, false servants. You know, they appear to be servants of righteousness. But just think about it. As Satan disguised himself, what you think about it? As an angel of light. So, you know, it's easy to be confused. Sometimes you think, well, you know, this looks good. Oh, yeah. Oh, they doing some good work. Step on their toe. Do something that's going to affect them. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. But I just want us to understand that we have to study so that when Satan come in his disguise, he's a manipulative spirit. He come to deceive us, deception, include false teaching. And so Paul was noting that teaching comes from, this false teaching comes from demons. This teaching is not worship. It's demons because it's false. And then you get false hope. You know, it comes. In 2 Timothy, he talked about it, chapter 4, you know, 1 through 5. He was talking about deception, false wonders. I'll read that. Now the Spirit, this is 1 Timothy, 4th chapter, 1 through 5. See, it's all through the Word of God. So we can't be oblivious of Satan's devices. We have to be keen. That's spiritual strategies for warfare. So I'm talking about, and I mentioned earlier how that animal came out and took the bread. But it was after we left. After we left. Thank you, Jesus. Spiritual strategies for warfare. Listen, now the Spirit expressively says that in a later time, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits, demons. I told you. Through the unsecurity of liars. I'm just saying what I'm saying. This is the Word of God. See, everything God created is good. And nothing is to be rejected. Nothing is to be changed. But when the Word of God is changed, now it becomes keen to know when deception is there. Deception is when a person that's teaching is teaching for their own rule or their own purpose or to fill up their own pocket, you know. So false wonders is a form of deception. Is supported by lies and untruth. You know, stolen elections. It is what it is. You know, it is what it is. These lies can be false teaching to the nation, to churches. It's a method of pulling people apart, away from where you're planted to get you course. I'm talking about false teaching. Because, see, teaching is for you to grow. You shouldn't stay the same. What you used to do or what you used to tolerate, you can't tolerate it no more. Because guess what? Too much is given, much is required. You are a firebomb. You listen, God is a consuming fire. We should be the same way. Anything that's not like God should burn up in our presence. Why? Because it's the truth. We walk in the truth. If it's not the truth, it's a lie. So the reality means that we need to be discerning of the truth. You know, we're hearing and be sure to test them. You know, just as the Word says, test the Spirit. Oh, yeah. We're supposed to test it. 1 John 4:1. Listen what it says. Beloved, talking about you and I, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For false prophets have come out into the world. It sounds good. It looks good. They do good works, but it's not of God. Teaching should cause one to grow. Okay, so I'm going to just stop right there with deception. Now I want to go into obstacles. See, obstacles prevent the truth from being heard. You know, you might be talking about, oh, that's not true, and then you're trying to break it down about the truth, and then the enemy come and try to turn you in a whole different direction. Why? Because he want to cut the conversation off. Guess what? He want to keep God's people in bondage because he understands that it is absolutely the truth that make you free. So if he can keep the truth from us, we're going to stay in bondage. It's the truth that the enemy try to cause obstacles, throw stones in the way so that he can continue to spread false truth. See, Satan and demons, they try to hinder the word of God from being heard by people. You ever sat in church, heard the word went in your spirit. Before you get out of church, good, they will see it because he come to steal that engrafted word. Because he know that the word of God get engrafted all in your spirit and that you become a vessel of the word of God truly from the inside out, he don't stand a chance. Why? It's not because of you. It's because of the God that's in you. So Satan want to hinder the word of God from being heard, not only being heard, from being seen. See, we can see, okay, I'll say, can't you see the image in the parable of Jesus of the sower in Mark 4, and I think it's Matthew 13. And the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And a great crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told many of them about the parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. You know the story. I won't read the rest of it, but he tried to steal what you sowed. He tried to steal what the teacher, the preacher, the pastor, and sold into your spirit. So he comes with deceptions and obstacles so that you are confused. So he want to prevent us from hearing the message. So if he can prevent us from hearing the message, guess what? He can prevent us from believing the message. And if he prevent us from believing the message, he can prevent us from producing fruit. See, Apostle Paul was... he said that Satan will blind your eyes so people will not believe. My mom always say, she just, and it just substantiates what Paul is saying here. You ever been looking for something that's right in front of your face? You know, and then you're going to get all off course because you can't find it. Then you go back and boom. There it is. The Satan then blinds your eyes. It was right there, and you didn't see it. So he used these obstacles. He used tactics. He used the wiles of the devil. You know, I was talking to a pastor the other day, and we were discussing the wiles of the devil. You know, Satan got wiles. And he throw them wiles at you, he'll use a person. In Ephesians 6:11, these wiles, they're tricks. They to manipulate, and then they're designed to deceive you. You know, a lot of people, I mean, when they made reference to the wiles, they use a woman, seductiveness of a female, and, you know, using charm or sex appeal to get what they want. And a lot of times men are, excuse me, my brothers, but a lot of times those schemes work. And women, and I know men use these schemes too, but it's known that the wile of the devil, they're clever schemes that's used by Satan to ensnare us into temptation. They use threats or intimidation. You know, what does it say in Ephesians 6 and 11? It warns us, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because these wiles are going to happen. And then other Bible versions talk about the devil's schemes, strategies, evil tricks, rather than wiles. The scripture give us insight to the enemy technique. You know, we're not unaware. We're not unaware of his schemes. So we have to seek wisdom and heed it. Oh, that's so good. Because the wiles of the devil come to get the people of God off course. Amen. Glory to God. I'm telling you, you know, we have to stay on course, and we have to know what Satan is trying to use, the same tools that he always uses. He's not using anything different. Lies, discord, division, obstacles. You know, this is what he uses. And the whole thing is to prevent you from being what God called you to be. You won't be singing that song, I'll wear a crown. He don't want you to sing that song. So he used these demonic techniques so he can come against you and against your purpose, against your destiny, so that you won't accomplish things, so that you won't think straight. And when you do think of things, you're thinking about what you can't do. Well, you know what? You probably can't. But with Christ, all things are possible. So when you think about you got him on your side, there's no limitation. Put it in his hands. Amen. Amen. People can even be an obstacle to themselves. You know, sometimes we rather believe a lie than the truth. And I'm going to tell you where I'm at. If I tell someone something and I feel they question it, I'm done. They can question it by themselves. You know, you get to a certain age where I believe they said you at a certain age you fake it to make it. And then another age, it is what it is. I'm at that is what it is age. Go ahead and deal with God on it, because I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Hallelujah. Because I understand of these obstacles that prevent the truth from being heard. So some people, you have to allow them to go through all this other stuff so they can get to the truth. And I'm at this is what it is. I'm just trying to say, because there's so much peace in it. Amen. I just got so much material about warfare and obstacles. Let me just do this real quick because my time is running short. But alternatives, inspiring false religion. You know, false religion is the work of Satan and his demons. In a number of places in the scripture, it talks about false practices or works that's opposite of the will of God. And when people worship these false gods, like material things, if you find someone that's always talking about I, because they're the God of themselves. You know, some people don't talk about others. They don't talk about community. You can literally be enslaved with yourself. Amen, amen. And if we keep listening to the I, next thing you find yourself saying, oh, I wish I could have that. I wish I could go there. You become part of the I. Oh, I wish my house looked like that. Oh, I wish my ring was that big. Do not worship God. You will end up worshiping another God. Indirectly. Sometimes directly. And then you become under the power and the influence of Satan. Because you are so caught up on material things. And so to open up your eyes, there did I go. But when you began to understand that Satan is trying to trap you so that you can idol God. All right, amen, amen. I told you, I believe I told you I do affliction. We got affliction, accusation, creating affliction, how he produced pride and jealousy, which creates confliction. You know, some people are just jealous. You know, they're just jealous. And whenever you're around, they're just jealous. So they cause problems. Oh, God, this is good. And I just thank you for tuning in. But the whole ultimate is to win the war. See, sometimes we can win the battles, but lose the war. We want to win the war. Amen. The war of our minds. The war of the situation that's going on. At the end of the thing, someone is made better having heard the truth of the word of God. So when we teach, we want change, can see it, and people can believe it. And then once they believe it, guess what happens? They produce fruit. And then once fruit is produced, it keeps multiplying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. We'll continue on next week with our other topics so that we can understand that we walk in God's best, which is a state of mind, knowing that all things are possible if we only believe. God will change everything. You know, I said to Elder, and I'm going to close with this. I said to Elder during our travel, it was raining. And I said, oh, Lord, it's raining. You know, of course, God sent the rain. So we had was just en route. And I said, you know what? I start speaking to the rain, and I start commanding the rain to stop. And, you know, I did what I do. So Elder was like, he was like, stop. But he didn't say it, but it was on his face. And I kept decreeing and declaring it, hallelujah. It was kind of lightened up, but it was still sprinkling. And we're still waiting for the rain to stop. And then the navigator said, take 10/27, the highway. And guess what? When we went that route, there was no rain. So it stopped raining. God already knew. If you dare to stand on faith, God made it happen. We was riding and it wasn't raining anymore. So I just give God the glory and the praise. I dare you to use these strategies for warfare, and you will see people get delivered and set free because you're using these tools. Amen. Look for deception. Look for it so you can call it out so change could come. Don't just listen to that stuff. it is what it is. Amen, amen. I want to thank everyone. I want to encourage you to go and to www.giveify.com and download the app to your phone, GiveLify.com. Download it to your phone so you can be a regular supporter. And encourage someone, come on the line, encourage someone to be part of what God is doing with Kingdom Builders Development Institute. Encourage someone, bring somebody. And I just want to thank you once again. Those that don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sin, I'm telling you, if you make that decision and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, death had no power over our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did it have no power, he went to hell and took the keys. And he took the keys to the kingdom because death couldn't hold him down. So he took the battle to him, amen? And when he got there, he took the keys in our hands. Let's use them. If you want to connect with us, you can give us a call at area code 313-583-9739. And again, www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. Amen. Glory to God. You can email us at kingdombuildersplaza@gmail.com. And on this week, we'll be on Facebook Live. And that'll be Sunday morning. Amen, amen. I just want to encourage everyone on the line. Stay encouraged. Keep your face looking up because that's where your help comes from. Amen, amen. From Elder and myself, we send much love. We thank everyone that's been praying for us. Keep us in your prayers as we pray for you. And we're going to just expect God to keep doing what only God can do. Amen. I say God bless everyone. Put some supernatural on your thoughts. Because guess what? The deep is calling up on the deep. God bless everyone. And we love you. Have a blessed supernatural rest of your day.
Father, your word said, in the last day, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. Upon my handmaids and my servants, while I pour out my spirit. And then you promised us the rain. Former rain and the latter rain together. Can you lift hands and receive the waters of God? Father, tonight we ask for rain in the time of rain. We lift it as a prayer before you. Open the sky. Release the waters of God. Let's say it.
Open the sky.
Release.
Open the rivers of God.
Open the sky.
Open the sky.
Release the waters of heaven. Open the sky. Release the rivers. He calls to deep. He calls unto deep. Can you say that as a prayer to him? Pour out rain, Father. Open the sky. Release the waters of heaven. Agua de Sal Judea. Release the rivers. He calls unto thee. Lift it as a prayer over the sky. Can you slip up your hands? Let's petition the throne of grace. For out of that throne flows the crystal river. In whom it's healing.